It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 6:04 on The Fan. Hour 2. I guess it's hour 2. Of our radio program, Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here for another hour, 7 o'clock. Is it Steve Summers coming your way? I want to say it's Steve Summers. It's either Chris Moore or Steve Summers. We have the FAN royalty, Dolph Kramer. He's on the other side of the glass in Manhattan, and we're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
We go from FAN royalty to Philadelphia Eagle royalty,
indeed.
New York Yankee royalty. He's been doing a great job stepping in for John Sterling over the last couple of days. Ricky Ricardo. Ricky, how are you? Oh, Ricky.
I don't think Ricky's there yet.
Oh, I guess he's FAN royalty.
Ricky's talking to Cespedes right now.
Well, it's funny. He did say, because I was in the car driving, and I was getting home as the Yankee game was starting the other night, and Susan brings up to Ricky, boy, this Cespedes thing is wild, right before the Sunday night game. And Ricky comes right out and says, hey, I've been hearing things, that he wasn't happy about his contract, that he wasn't happy about the incentives.
Right.
And look, Ricky knows. I certainly trust him on that. But he's done
here
a great job. What was that?
I think he's here now.
Oh, there he is. Yes. Ricky Ricardo. I gave you a big intro, and I'm not going to repeat it. No, I'm sorry. Hey, Ricky.
Ricky, how are you, bro?
I trust your intro talent, believe me. So I'm impressed even if I didn't hear it.
Good to hear. How about this team, man? I mean, they may not
rocking
lose again.
And
yeah, no, this team is clicking on all cylinders right now. And I tell you what, the scary part is the starting pitching is nowhere near being what it eventually should be. Even Gerrit Cole has been grinding through his three wins. His starts have been good, but it's nowhere near the Cole that would be in midseason form. Tanaka, obviously, it's going to take him a while to get back. And Jordan Montgomery's doing his thing. You know, hopefully we get a good outing from Happ, but he didn't look like the good Happ the last time out. But the bullpen has been magnificent. And this lineup, and the way Aaron Boone has handled the lineup by getting guys some at-bats, getting the Tyler Wades into the lineup, you know, getting Gleyber Torres, for example, out of the lineup yesterday. He's been struggling. He's just clicked every button that he's pressed right now. It's worked. It's been perfect.
You know, Aaron Judge has been unbelievable, but, you know, you can expect that if he's going to be healthy. But we were just talking about it. How about the play of Gio Urshela offensively and defensively, Ricky, right now?
You know, he came into this season with the question mark. Everybody doubted and said, well, that was a one-off last year. It was a fluke. Can he do it again? Is this the real Gio Urshela, or did he just have one of those seasons that guys sometimes have, and then they, you know, they come back down to a certain level? He is picking up his game even to another level as compared to last year. He is hitting the ball hard to all fields.
Right. Yep.
If you pitch him outside, he takes you deep to right center. If you pitch him in, he can pull the ball. If you hit him with breaking stuff, he'll take it right up the middle. And the defense has been, you know, shall I say, dare I say, Greg Nettles-esque, Brooks Robinson-esque. I mean, it's just been outstanding.
Yep, yep.
So to watch this guy prove to everyone that last year was not a fluke, because that was the question, and people were, oh, well, Andujar is healthy now. Will there be a battle at third base? You know, will Andujar want his position back? I'll tell you what, nobody's taking third base away from Gio Urshela right now. I think he's the best in the American League.
Look, you said something about the defense last night. It's funny. When you don't watch a guy every day, there's no metric that's going to define someone. Last night, he made four or five plays. Not all of them turned into outs, and they weren't all his fault. One, I thought, was on Mike Ford on that throw to first base. But he's getting the baseballs that most guys not named Nolan Arenado or Matt Chapman have no shot of getting to. But the offense is so stunning to me. And I was saying this to Joe before. In 2018, the year before this renaissance, he's in the minor leagues most of the year with the Yankees, with the Indians, with the Blue Jays, and he wasn't a very productive offensive player. What happened? What clicked for him to take this kind of jump at the major league level?
You know, I think you've got to give Marcus Thames, the Yankee hitting coach, a lot of credit. And even during the lockdown, instead of going back to Columbia, you know, he's Columbia, But he spent a lot of time with Francisco Lindor. And not too far from where I live in Orlando, Lindor has a lot of acreage of land, and they would go ride bikes each and every day. I mean, long distance riding bikes and hitting, getting into cages. Lindor is all set up. He's got everything you need. And the work ethic of this guy, even during the lockdown and in the off season, getting with coaches, just improving his technique at the plate. It's just impressive the way he has developed. And now he knows, you know, he's got those expectations on him. So mentally he's got to be in another place because he's not sneaking up on anybody now. You know, the opposing teams have a quote-unquote book on him in a way that they want to pitch him. And so far, if they pitch him one way, like I said, he goes to the opposite field. They try to squeeze him. He can pull the ball. I think he has really solidified himself as a solid major leaguer, and it's only, you know, up from here.
You know, last night I talked to the great Ricky Ricardo. I saw something last night I think I've ever seen before. Brett Gardner hit an opposite field home run basically down the left field line. How about that? I mean, most of the home runs, he had a lot of home runs last year. I think he had 28 home runs. I think he pulled every one of them. How about
he's
that?
He's never hit an opposite field home run over the wall. He had one that was an inside the Parker couple of years ago, but has never hit one to the opposite field. And the first one he hit a couple nights ago on Friday, that was a classic Gardner shot. It was a breaking pitch that hung.
Right.
You know, he pulled it into the second deck in right field. But that one last night, now I will give you that it was very humid. The ball was carrying last night everywhere. But make no mistake, Gardner, before last season, when he got to camp in 2019, he had gotten into, and we discussed this, he had gotten into tremendous shape. I mean, physically, he was a rock. So he has got a lot of power that maybe the Brett Gardner of 5-6 years ago, you know, didn't have. And last night, you watched those wrists, because really, he went for a pitch that was outside, flicked those wrists at it, had the power and maybe a little help from the conditions last night, but still, it landed three rows into the seats in left field. That's the first time he's ever cleared the left field seats with a home run in his career.
You know, I want to stop you for a second because you said something about his condition. I look at the Yankees, the condition that the Yankees are in, and you could pretty much go all the way down the line. You look at Giancarlo, the kind of shape he's in. I know he lost weight. He's been terrific. I mean, it really is unbelievable. I mean, the whole team is like just in mint condition, Ricky.
Yeah, no, the Yankee training staff has done a tremendous job. The guys did really yeoman's work, especially during these months of the lockdown, to stay in shape. It's not like, you know, they sat around and got flabby during these months. You know, they stayed working. DJ LeMahieu never missed a day. I mean, there was a lot of work still going on, obviously with the distancing and, you know, a specific time for one guy here, one guy there. But they would use the facilities when they could at Steinbrenner Field. But guys stayed in shape throughout the lockdown. And I think the Yankees as a team are unified. I think Aaron Boone has done a magnificent job of keeping this team as a group just focused on what they want to do throughout the spring and summer. And I think they are a step ahead of just about everyone else that I have seen after the comeback here with the season starting. It looks like the Yankees are much more further ahead in their progress than any other team that I have seen, even the ones that have had some postponements. The Phillies don't count. They've been away 8 days, so they look rusty. But even on opening night, the Yankees look like they had a full spring training again. They just look a step faster, a step stronger than the opposition so far.
And the result is showing. I mean, they're 8-1 for the first time since 2003. And, you know, Joe brought up Giancarlo and him losing weight. It also shows a lot about the confidence he has in staying healthy that he's stealing a base in the eighth inning last night. So,
that's a very good sign. We all held our breath to make sure everything was fine when he slid into second. But, you know, it reminds me of, remember when Juan Gonzalez with the Texas Rangers was hitting home runs all over the place, and he got so strong, you know, maybe he had some help or not, who knows. But he got too strong, and even Gonzalez admitted after a while that he was too muscular, that he needed to have that flexibility again and, you know, got off of the weights and got some flexibility back. I see that in Giancarlo Stanton. He is not as chiseled as he may have been in the past, but he lost the weight, and he's much more flexible right now. And I think that's going to help him stay healthy The chances of him getting a muscle-based injury are far less this year because he looks much more flexible than he has the last couple of years.
We're talking to Ricky Ricardo. The Yankees are not playing today. They're going to play two games against the Phillies tomorrow. And I think tomorrow, I'm not a fan of it, but it is going to be fascinating to see the strategy changes, if there are any, in a seven-inning doubleheader. We've already seen one grouping of seven-inning doubleheaders, but a lot of us weren't glued to Cincinnati-Detroit. What do you think? What are you expecting tomorrow with not only a seven-inning doubleheader, but the Yankees are the home team in Game 1 at Citizens Bank Ballpark?
My question is, do they wear the home pinstripes in Game 1?
They probably do.
35 minutes in between games. Do they go in and then switch to the road grays for Game 2?
I think so.
There was one other time, we mentioned it on the broadcast last night, when there was remember a beam fell at the old Yankee Stadium?
Oh, yeah, 98.
I think it was in 1998, right. So the Yankees were the home team that had to play against the Angels at Shea Stadium.
Yep.
So this is really going to be, obviously in the mid-70s when they were rebuilding Yankee Stadium, the Yankees wore the pinstripes as a home team at Shea for those couple of seasons. But outside of that, they've never done it. I want to see how Aaron manages the pitching staff, because remember, you've got two doubleheaders now in 4 days.
Yeah.
You've got one tomorrow, and you've got one Saturday afternoon in Tampa. Now, Saturday will be the next turnaround for Gerrit Cole. Now, Cole, in a seven-inning game, can give you a complete game. And if he's on, there's no reason that Aaron Boone needs to go to the bullpen. As far as length is concerned, for Gerrit Cole in one of the two games on Saturday at the Trop down against the Tampa Bay Rays. But tomorrow with Jay Happ, and I don't know if he's announced a starter for the second. As of last night, they were going to, quote-unquote, discuss the pitching matchup for Game 2 tomorrow night. But I'll be interested to see how he uses the bullpen, because he's got a lot of games in a very short period of time. As far as managing, I don't think that there's really a major difference as far as how he manages the ball game. But I am interested to see how he uses his pitching staff, especially if Happ is not on his game. And they really could use a good outing from Happ in the ballpark where Happ got his start when he first came up to the majors with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Are you confident? You know, I've said this before, Ricky. It seems like, you know, MLB is hell-bent on getting this season in. I mean, they're doing everything on the fly that they have to do to get it in. How do you feel about that? Are you confident we're going to get through this whole season?
I'm starting to think that no matter what happens, we are going to plow forward and
try to get this
September the 27th. I really do. You know, the ratings have been good.
Yep.
As far as the television is concerned, you can sense a little bit more, I don't know, amongst the fans. Even you guys are taking calls. You're starting to take calls now about game decisions.
It
seems like having all this action out there, the hockey, the basketball, now the baseball, that, you know, people are exhaling a little bit. Sports fans are exhaling. It's starting to feel a little bit normal. And maybe some of these instances, like the Marlins issue and now the St. Louis Cardinals, it's a little easier to, you know, maybe deal with it and move forward. And I'm not saying ignore it, or downplay it in any way, shape, or form. But I think we can understand and move forward with it a little bit easier than we would have back in April, when I think the panic level was a lot higher than it is now. It's almost like we're starting to get used to or learn to deal with knowing that COVID is part of everybody's lives.
Yeah.
And I think sports is one of those avenues that will learn to live with the virus, knowing that it exists. But, you know, it's like the old saying, the show must go on. And I think they will get through until September, and we'll have that playoff and get through this season.
Are Philly fans at 1-3, if they're not playing for a week, are they starting to get nervous? Are they starting to turn on Joe Girardi yet? Is that happening
down
Girardi. In Philly?
No, Girardi's got a mulligan.
Oh, he
now,
does. Okay.
General manager Matt Klintak, Evan, that's another story.
Okay.
They've been ready to move off of Matt Klintak for a while, and what they have seen is that the Phillies bullpen, again, right, like for the fourth time, Klintak has tried to redo the bullpen, and every year, his redone, you know, reshaped bullpen seems to fail the same way it has before. And that's what Phillies fans have seen. Even if it's just four games, all the commentary that I've seen and listening to, you know, the WIP when I have a chance, the fan base down there is just as disillusioned with Klintak's job with the bullpen. And they're upset And with good reason. They're upset that JT Realmuto has not been given a contract extension, and they are worried beyond worried. I mean, they're scared of the fact that Realmuto gets the free agency, and who knows? Maybe the Mets have a new owner.
Stevie Cohen!
Right, there you go. You hit it on the head, the new owner,
there you
right?
Go. Maybe the new owner wants to make a splash. And,
right.
You know, you've got a catcher for the next 5-6 years, maybe the best overall catcher in the game. So, you know, they're hanging on a cliff about JT Realmuto. They're upset with the owner about that, and they're upset with the general manager, Klintak, about just, you know, another horrible bullpen. But Girardi is on a honeymoon, and they'll give him a couple of years because they really do believe in Joe Girardi.
Well, he's a hell of a manager, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
They should,
absolutely.
Of course.
All right, now, we know you're tight with Yoenis, okay? So what the hell happened with Yoenis? I mean, what he was upset about his – is that what it was about, his incentives and all of that? Is that the deal, Ricky?
You know, I have not delved into this on purpose. I want to let the waters calm a little bit and see who's going to talk and who's going to admit to what maybe in a few days. But right now, I it seems to me this was an impulsive decision. Now, some of the players say they kind of knew about it or had a clue that this was going to happen. Remember, they had to be either in or out by August the 1st. Okay, that was the quote-unquote the time limit to opt in or opt out as far as if your player is concerned. Markakis opted back in before August the 1st.
Right.
But getting off to a slow start, although you could tell, Joe, his chest was pumped up on opening day when he hit that home run.
Right.
And it almost looked like here comes Yoenis to save the day. He's going to be the savior of this 60-game season. He's the DH. He just put one way into the seats. They beat the Atlanta Braves. I just don't know that in the course of a week or 10 days, however how long it was, from that moment of glory on opening day, which was on a Friday, so you're basically talking 8 days. Between 8 days, his mindset could go from, I'm the opening day hero and I'm going to earn myself another deal with someone, to, I don't really care about whatever anybody thinks. I'm leaving. I'm done. It's just very, very strange to me. And there's got to be more to this than meets the eye, and it eventually will come out.
Eventually, the truth will come out. I can't wait to hear it. Gut is it'll make the Mets look bad. That's my gut.
Props.
Well, remember, every time there's been a controversy with Yoenis Cespedes, there's the initial story, and then as the days go on, it starts to develop, and the truth of the same thing happened with the wild boar.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It took a while for the real deal to surface, and I think you're going to experience the same thing here.
Now, see, I think, Ricky, you know more than you're saying, but because I love you like I do, okay? Maybe you were playing golf a little bit with Yo. Who knows?
Text
because I love you like
over,
I
Joe.
Do, I'm going to let you slide on it because I love
text
you,
me, text me when the show's over.
That's all you need to know. Ricky, enjoy, man. We'll be
you're
listening
the best,
tomorrow.
Ricky. You know we love you, man. You know that.
How am I sounding, okay?
Who's better than you?
Listen, you're doing an excellent job.
Let me ask you, Ricky, when you're doing a Yankee game now, do you have like a moment when you want to give the the Spanish call? Do you do that?
You know, the only thing that I haven't done is really get a little dramatic on the home run calls, because the one thing I don't want to do is seem like I'm competing with John or trying to. I'm not John. John is the great John Sterling. No one can replace John Sterling. I'm just doing what Ricky does. There's a little bit more showman in me that I've showed so far, but no, remember, I'm English first. I kind of prepare more when I'm doing the Spanish. I do more thinking when I'm doing the Spanish broadcast because that's my second language.
Gotcha.
You know, this is much more natural to me. I'm just having a lot of fun.
Well, Ricky,
Ricky, you're doing a great job. You are a showman, Ricky. For those who don't know, Ricky, there's no question that you have a lot of song and dance in you, Rick. There's no question.
thank you, Ricky. Excellent job, man.
See you, Rick.
Anytime, gentlemen. Anytime.
The great Ricky Ricardo. And let's go back to last night, because you said it earlier. You said, bro, I knew the game was over when DJ hit a home run, first batter for the Yankees.
Yep.
Let's take a listen to Ricky's call of the DJ home run.
Payoff. Slide to right, deep right. Harper at the track. Harper at the wall. She's gone. Oh, the DJ spitting a tune right off the bat tonight. LeMahieu. Adios, amigo, his second home run of the season. And welcome back to active duty Philadelphia Phillies. Right off the bat, it's 1-0 New York.
The DJ spinning a tune. Wow.
Spinning it right out of the gate.
Yeah, how about that?
Excellent job.
That's tremendous. Great call by Ricky.
Listen, we've heard some classics, though. Some of the Eagle calls, the Eagle Bear call, I think, at the end.
Those were in Spanish, though. But you're right.
But they were still amazing.
No, oh, yes. God. Si, senor. Si, senor. Si, senor.
That's right. That's right. But Ricky's doing a fine job. John will be back soon. Tomorrow night, we got that doubleheader Yankees against the Philadelphia Phillies.